Blog Talk Radio.
Ajalo room, winnie winnie, me be my answer. Afifi, jeje, efufu, leje, yawa, oyao, ashe.
Oh, yeah.
yeah, oh yeah, emi ankarele.
Oh yeah.
Struggled with in the past, and now that we have awakened ourselves, the struggle is no more. Now it's more so of we aligning ourselves with certain energies in order to dominate the entire infrastructure that was created. Now, watching as their programs are crumbling, the money programs, you know, that whole money program, that corporation, that business program that they created is crumbling, and now I see where, you know, this Arcturian Trump is and his Arcturian counterparts are working because they're trying to they had this Nassara act going on where they want to dissolve the corporate and bring back the we the people, and you got to remember that we the people is only for the so-called white folk and not for the original beings of this world, and that's how it was written, you know. So what we have to understand is the programs that they created are crumbling, and this is the reason why we must take advantage of this crumbling program and begin to re-implement our original program. The planet's a program is a tropical program, okay? Our planet is a tropical planet, all right? The entire planet, no part of the planet is supposed to be cold, all right? You have to remember, if you go back into your past lives, you will see that the most furthest point of the planet, the North Pole and the South Pole, were actually the hottest points of the planet and not the equator, all right? The North Pole and the South Pole reached at temperatures well over 150 degrees, 160 degrees, and there were brothers and sisters who lived in that type of setting. You have, of course, the South Pole, which the average temperature was about 120 to 130 degrees, all right? And those brothers and sisters who also lived in that climate area. As far as what you call the islands, because every plant, every land is not a continent, it's an island, all right? Continent has to do with corporations. All right, when I went and looked up the etymology of continent, it had to do with ownership. Like the American continent is that America owns the land. Continent literally means to own. All right? So when they say the African continent, whoever named that land Africa, their family are supposed to be owners of the land. Okay, so you see who's working over there, the Chinese, the French, the Dutch, all right? So that's, the word continent literally means to own, all right? All of the lands are islands. Majority of our planet is water, so all of the lands are islands. That's why we call it our land here Turtle Island. It is a huge island, all right? And it's growing, okay? So the programs that they set up were designed to alter the original program of nature, which is a tropical program. And this is how we created it, because we created it this way so that the sun can feed our bodies. We created all of this, and then it recreated us, right? It's like we who are cosmic beings, we so-called black people, who you think created the cosmos? And at some point of infinite time, we created the cosmos, and in return, the cosmic energy recreated us. This is how, this is the symmetry of it all. This is why we can link it to all these different energies without being harmed, all right? Because we created the same energy that recreated us, all right? That's how it works. You know, that's why, just like when we go into meditation, meditation is a program. All right? You link it to meditation, you link it into the cosmic program, the cosmic and nature program. So you hold your hand out and you close your eyes, and that you instantly link into the cosmos, and you feel that energy coming straight down, because energy has no boundaries. So the energy is already there. You just link into the energy, all right? And wherever you are, there are different levels of energy. So you can go on one place and you feel an extremely high level of energy. You go another place and the energy is even higher. You're like, wow. So the energy is already here. It's just wherever you are, you link into that energy, all right? So meditation, you go into the meditation program, and therefore you link into infinite energies, infinite levels of intelligence, all right? You got intelligences, all right? Not just one intelligence, there's multiple levels of intelligence, all right? So these are the programs that you link into, and these programs are designed to take you into a higher level. You know, I was talking to a brother, and he was talking on the level of our planet growing, and he said, well, what's the reason for the earthquakes, and what's the reason for our planet growing? I said, you got to understand our planet runs on a program. He couldn't understand that. He couldn't understand that. He couldn't perceive that type of knowledge because his program, he desired to design his program to link only into the books that are written. Everything that is written is a program, all right? So in order for us to truly succeed, we must look into the original programs that are already, that we created for our planet, all right? So just like you said, the winter program, fall program, the spring program, all these different levels are dependent upon the devices that they put into that they use to control the atmosphere, right? The devices that they use to control the atmosphere, as well as stuff they spray in the sky, right? So everything that you're dealing with is lower atmosphere. All right, and everything that they spray in the sky, which is those devices link into whatever they spray in the sky, and this is the winter program, the fall program, all right, what they call summertime. Time literally means program, summer program. So this is when they say, okay, well, we're going to allow the original program to operate the way it's supposed to operate, but then we're going to alter this original program and create our own programs. All right? Trees are supposed to be everywhere. Trees are part of the programs of our planet. They destroyed the trees and put up all these buildings, which means that in turn, we're going to have to destroy all these buildings and replant all the trees. All the trees can come back with a thump, right? But first, we have to create our devices in order to make this thing happen, all right? So all of these programs, these are all programs, all right? So the whole issue is that we must link into the cosmic design program, which is going to take us back to this infinite energy and power that releases certain portals and gateways within us, which will allow us to be a more powerful, which is called cyborgs or organic beings, okay? So understand that there are programs everywhere, even the time program that they created. Now, I'm going to go into, later on, I'm going to go into what the brother, what I shared on the posting, you know, months are weeks, and weeks are days, and days are hours. All right, we're going to go into that because the original energy, the original tropical program that's on our planet, that's the entire planet is tropical. It's supposed to be hot on the entire planet. All right, that's the way we designed it. We designed the entire solar system, this entire galaxy, to be this way. All right, don't listen to mankind. Because they try to alter the program, just like the water said, the Atlantic water said, you know, they're trying to keep the ice wall up, in Antarctica because they're scared of what's behind. They know what's to come. So they're trying to keep the ice wall up. And in the meantime, they want our brothers and sisters and others to believe that, oh, this ice is a natural occurrence that's happening and it's supposed to be cold. No, it's supposed to be hot on both ends, the North Pole and the South Pole. So this is a program. Right now, the North Pole is literally extremely hot. It's ranging anywhere from 150 to 180 degrees, which is the original program that we created. So just want to show you all, talk to you all about these programs that are supposed to be in place and how we must return back to our original program, which our original program is designers. We're the true original designers of this planet. And I mean, not only did we have structures, we had fields. We had fields of different gardens. We had gardens and with different types of flowers, and, you know, because each flower is a different program. Each flower has a different type of energy that it emits, each flower, all right, each flower. So that energy that flower emits, you smell the energy through its aroma, all right? So that's the energy that it is emitting in the air, all right? So these are all different programs. On the planet, everything is a program, and we as the original beings were designed to protect and to build new programs to keep the planetary energy in balance. This is where we must return back to. This is where we return, all right? Me as a timekeeper, it's my duty to bring back the original time program that's supposed to be here on the planet, because the energy moves extremely slow. The energy does not move as fast as mankind wants. Mankind creates time and this time program for mass production, because you're talking about an inorganic artificial intelligence being who wants things done instantly or mass production for money, because that money program, which is an obsolete program, which is a virus, all right, this is their only way to contain energy through this program. So our duty is to reignite that original program, and we do this by building and creating, all right, by linking ourselves into the nature program, by building and getting on the ground and building for nature and not for profit, all right? We're not doing this for profit. We're taking the money, using the money program to create a more dynamic program on the planet, which is the natural, which is the program of nature, all right? So you got to understand that everything here, what we're dealing with are programs, all right? The school program, the church program, the money program, the business program, they're all programs, all right? And all these programs are designed to take the original beings away from the original program, all right, so that the inorganic beings can freely operate the way they feel like they want to. But now that we have awakened that free operation of whatever they want to do in our house can no longer be in place. All right, brothers and sisters, so I share that with you all. There's no hate speech, none of this stuff here. Only thing I'm doing is sharing it with you all about the programs. Everything is a program on the planet, all right? Everything, even when you go to the stores, you go to the strip malls. When you go to the strip malls, I want you guys to look up at the top of the buildings, and you're going to see like a circle or square, all right? Those are dimensional shapes, which means that that circle that's on top of that building is a program. It's a dimensional program was designed to try to draw your energy to those buildings, all right? These are all programs. Everything is a program. Everything on the planet is a program. You got the air program, you got the sun program, you got, and these are infinite programs. These are programs. times that they don't do. What happens is they grow because this is a natural energy. Natural energy grows. A virus, only thing a virus can do is loop, and it never grows. As we see the money system, the business system, whatever, it only loops and it never grows. And it keeps doing the same thing over and over and over. And the original beings get caught up in the loop, thinking that they are going somewhere when in reality they are not going anywhere but a circle, the same circle over and over and over. All right, so programs, we have to redesign the program just like we said when we began to build these new structures and these new dimensional structures, whatever that we build, these new towers, these temples. We're going to begin to re-implement new ley lines, which means that we're going to have to fight for what we build. And you got to understand, when you start building these structures are going to emit powers and certain powers and certain energies into your body, which means that your body will begin to return to the original program that it was created to do. You create fly, levitate, teleport, because we are multidimensional celestial deities, as we so-called black people on the planet. Multidimensional celestial deities, which means that we run on a cosmic program as well as a nature program. It's the duality, that masculine feminine. Okay? So when you begin to build these structures and these structures are sending out energies into the atmosphere, you're going to start seeing changes and all of our kin folk, which means that this whole music program, television program, everything is going to change, and we're instantly going to begin to venture towards our original programs that we come from, and we want to see things in a totally different light, all right, instead of sitting up in front of a video game all day long thinking that we're accomplishing something. We're actually going to be really, really accomplishing things on the planet, on a cosmic level, on a cosmic basis, all right? So you got to remember, just like we said last night, every blood cell in your body is linked into a different universe within the cosmos, which means the universe is infinite. The cosmos is infinite, all these different universes. So, you know, go back to your original program, link into that original power, all right? I shared it with you all, and I'll catch you guys later. You know the deal. All power to the multi-chakra celestial angelic beings and the chaos rings forever and ever. Much power to you all.
Tell me, where am I supposed to go? Supposed to believe? If only you knew what I knew, then you could see just what I see.
enhance your mind, recharge your spirit, awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
All right. Greetings, everybody. Thank you guys for tuning in to another broadcast of Enhancing Awareness Radio. As you guys always know, I'm your host, Taru, guys, and this is Motivational Classroom, right? All right, so I want to first shout out to our PR lady, Sylvia, who does our commercials, logos. If you need a logo, anything like that, you can contact, you can email the radio broadcast by emailing, enhancingawarenessradio@gmail.com. You can email us. You can ask any questions, any show ideas, anything like that, you guys, any sponsorship, you know, opportunity, anything like that, you guys, you can always email us. We love to hear from you, and we love your feedback. You know, most importantly, I love audience feedback and you guys' concerns, anything that you want us to talk about. Joanne, you know what I'm saying? Joanne, thank you also for listening. Mary Fox, the Ear Family, everybody who has breezed through, you know, the Ear platform through the years. Thank you, you guys. All right, so on this particular broadcast, you guys, I love to be a student, right? So on this particular classroom, you guys, this is actually part two of a series that I actually started at the beginning of the month. And what we are doing here, guys, is when it comes to the whole topic of history, how many of you guys were in school, you know, and you were taught history, you know. In your heart of hearts that it isn't about just this program, right? It's something about this program. It's something about this system that just does not sit right with me. Something is off. You know, if you were one of those particular kids, guys, you were not crazy. You know, isn't it good to know that you are not crazy? Like, you know, if we try to rebel against a system or against, you know, some type of control program, you know what I'm saying? We deemed as crazy. We are cast out. We are shunned. All of that bullshit. You know what I mean? But I'm here to let you know, guys, you are not crazy. But here's what I have learned in this conscious cult, as I always like to call it, this conscious cult, this revised religion. You know, this is what I have learned, that you have to be very careful. If the information and the wisdom and the knowledge you ingested, because even the knowledge is controlled. You know what I'm saying? So the information and the experience is going to be your best teacher, right? Experience is going to be very careful out here. I'm not saying to have any fear, but be very careful with the information and everything, because these Masons and everybody, you know, who are really not for the people under the screen, you know, have a way of emotional manipulation and attempting to control a hidden agenda. You know what I'm saying? We think that it's not real because it's kind of like a silent war, but it is very real. So be very mindful. Be very careful of your surroundings. Be very careful of your circles. Be very careful of who's who, all that good stuff. Now, with that being said, you guys, when it comes to history, I like to – history, which is his story, but I like to say her story. You know what I'm saying? Her story. You know, when, if ever – have we even got in tune with her story? Why was her story written out? There is a lot of things to be unmasked when it comes to her story, you guys. So, again, part one was the Waukesha child. Go back and listen to part one. It's very, very good. Here's another one about Utah. This is, now, when it comes to the Grand Canyon, Utah, when it comes, you know, first of all, this is Egypt. Well, this is, you know what, let me quit. I don't even want to kind of say that, because I even think that it's some mysteries even behind that. But I feel that this is the first world. What we're in right now, rebuild, remass, restructure, this here, what we're on, this land, this soil, is the first world. Anything that you see outside. You know, they tell you this is eating. You know, how the fuck are we going to go to a third world Egypt? Because let's be very clear, in, quote, Africa, right, that is third world Egypt. You know what I'm saying? Don't quote me on these third worlds and all this shit, because I personally feel that the timelines are off. And the timelines are off deliberately to distract us, deliberately for us to not remember who. Like if we think, and I don't even want to blame the, quote, white man and the white people. You know what I'm saying? It's us, y'all. It's us doing it to us. You know, who's the puppet master behind the curtain? It's your mama, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So, and pardon me, you know, when it comes to morality, it seems that if you go against a mother or if you go against a woman, that everybody seems to, you know, kind of cast you out, deem you out. You know, you're pretty much an outcast, which I have been pretty much deemed by some of the Ear family, which is okay. But I'm going to always speak my mind. I'm going to always speak the truth. It's not going against. It's, you know, if speaking the truth is going against, I'll take that. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be a lot of changes going forward when it comes to the Ear platform, which is okay. You know, change is definitely indeed. So people who have been a part of the Ear platform may drop in and out, staying here. Now, who knows, you know, but we're going to keep this thing going, all right? So please be sure to join Professor Kaba and his daughters. They're on every other Tuesday, which I think not this upcoming Tuesday, but the following. They're going to they talk about current hot topics or whatever. So anyway, guys, we're going to dive into this history. So there is a clip about an hour long. You know, again, I love being a student, guys. So please be sure that you have your pen and paper in. And being a student, you know, take notes. You know, Dr. Deborah Blair said this. He says, the truth is not until you decide. You know what I'm saying? So with all of this knowledge and information, and I want to say some of the knowledge, controlled knowledge and information, you know what I'm saying? A lot of black magic going on, too. So just, you know, most importantly, the thing is to be aware. All right, to be aware, but for you, be aware for you. Whatever you find in that, it was just on my heart to tell the world that today, all right? So let's go ahead and go into the clips. It's about 50 minutes long. Shout out to Mary Fox. Mary Fox will be coming back pretty soon on Enhancing Awareness Radio, guys. You know her road to presidency, politics, you know, she is a good asset because she speaks on, you know, the things that are going on right here, right now in the communities. And Mary has been off for months, you know what I'm saying? But we love her at Ear. We love her dedication, you know, her drive, you know what I'm saying, to get, you know, her goals, her mission. You know, it's like we all have that drive. You know, we're all strong personalities, the people that come in and out of Ear, you know what I'm saying? All of us, you know, have gotten our own businesses, you know. I'm proud of us because we have all, I know me and Sensei, the white, I want to say the white because, baby, the white, okay? So for me remembering him, you know, it was beautiful because we all kind of grew up, you know what I'm saying, in the community. And to see all of us venture out and doing our own things is just beautiful. Let me just say that. All right, you guys. So let's go ahead and get into the clip. I may or may not be back after the clip, but I just pretty much want to drop this information and then have for you to kind of decode and decide on your own. Again, this is the Motivational Classroom. And this one is Wash Itah Moore's Part 2, Ancient Center of the World, Salt Lake, Utah. So what is about Salt Lake, Utah? The next one is going to be, part three is going to be one of my favorites because this is something I'm zoning in on, and that's the Grand Canyon. What the fuck is really going on, or what is underground at the Grand Canyon? Seriously. Do that not look like Egypt to y'all? But all right, guys, here we go, and we'll be back. All right, peace.
Hey, folks. Welcome to part two of the Washitas, the original ancient ones. I want to get more into the history, her story about the ancients and the ancient ones, and that the United States, specifically the area in Utah, was the center of the world for the ancient ones. And the copper-colored people, the Washitas, the Moors, the Murs, were all indigenous to this area and were farmed out from there. This is America in the true old world, the promised land. And here you see down in the Grand Canyon, you got Shiva Temple, Isis Temple, and Cheops Pyramids, which I'll cover in the next two videos, along with the mound builders, where thousands and thousands of mounds in the Americas were built way before Egypt and any other mounds around the world, helping prove the great another massive great lie. So let's get into the Washita, Moors, Murs. Again, Washita, Washington, it's all Phoenician, Deaf Phoenicians, all oral languages that we languish in. But this is a really good article explaining how Utah was the center of the ancient ones. And we'll get into it more. And just to set the table a little bit about the Moors, the Murs, the Tartarians, also known as the Berbers and their descendants, we can see that explained before black and white are legal statuses has nothing to do with the complexion. Black is a stateless legal status which has no rights and is not even recognized. Black and white legal status has nothing to do with the North Carolina Negro Law of 1839. The term Negro is confined to slave Africans, ancient Berbers, and their descendants. And they were the copper-skinned people. And there are many diversities all around the world. I mean, in Egypt, they cut off the noses of the Sphinx and the other African blacks to take the Moors and cut them off so they wouldn't think they were of the Moor race or the ancient Tartarians, so no one would know. And the Indians, think about it. Columbus sailed the wrong way. He was such a great mariner, sailed in the wrong direction and thought he was an Indian. That's the official story, folks. All a big bunch of lies. And we'll get into today the Louisiana Purchase Treaty, as well as the Great Salt Lake. And here's a map from 1657 of La Florida, which was usually part of the Washita proper, aka Louisiana County. Look at how big the Florida used to be. It covered several states. Also notice how the Moors were known as Tamaricans because it was the first word on the Mount Banner. Temeri was an ancient name for Egypt. This evidence suggests that the Americas is old Egypt and the Egypt of the West. Are you listening, Danny? Now, this is a Spanish viceroyalty map of New Spain, 1810. And if you'll notice, the Kingdom of Guatemala, the Kingdom of the Yucatan, the Kingdom of Mexico, Kingdom of New Galicia, Kingdom of Leon. This is 1810, folks. New Vizcaya. And here's the Spanish Louisiana from the Louisiana Purchase, which was part of the Moors land that was taken over. And then here you have the India territories and the territories over here. And look at New California. Look at Old California, New Albion. This is what they called it over here. And then the disputed territories for whatever reason. But this is all part of Tartarian land before it was taken over by the Romanos. It's also the land of the New Granada land. Remember Granada, Pomegranate, 1810 map. There's Rome, the evil. You can see the New Granada land on this map, but there was nothing new about it because the Americas is the true old world. As you can see, Spain, Rome, the eagle, took a lot of land from the Moors, the Nagas, the serpents. This map does not show all of the land that was taken because La Florida once covered several states. Granada has the same name as the pomegranate in Spanish. The Spanish word for the fruit is Granada, and therefore the symbol of the promised land, because the pomegranate appears throughout the streets of Granada in Spain as you wander around the city. The pomegranate is also associated with the promised land of Israel, because a pomegranate is a metaphor for the richness of the promised land of Israel. In the Song of Solomon, and Sulamith's cheeks are compared to the house of the pomegranate. Here you can see the location over here, and this is what we're going to get into a little bit, is the Great Salt Lake. And the ancient ones and the center of the world of the promised land was in Utah. And this is granite. You see this is granite, so Totonac, all in this area here, Granada, all related to Spain. So the map of Granada Land in California. Notice California is an island, and Nova Granada on the map when you zoom in. Also notice the seven cities of Sicily, aka the seven cities of gold surrounding the lake on the map. Granada has the same name as the pomegranate in Spanish. And here's a map of Guadalajara and Nova, Mexico. I don't have the date on this, but I think it's from the 1600s. Here you can clearly see that California was a main island. The island where this would be the Sierra Nevadas were, and this is Mexico, Nova Mexico, which is the Great Salt Lake in Nevada, down here in Mexico, down there. And you can clearly see the Nova Albion, and this was the original California island up until the 1820s. And this is when Queen Califia ruled it with her griffins, where no males were allowed, and she fed the griffins male meat to keep the Roman males from invading her until the Great Floods happened. And then this all filled out, all the water filled out, the mountains rose, and that's when they found the gold. And that's what started the gold rush. You could literally pick gold off the top of the soil. It was not, you didn't have to dig for the gold and silver. That's why it's called El Dorado Hills. That's why we have the Golden Gate. And then we have the Treasure Island, and we have the angels to protect them in the San Francisco Bay. And then right across from that is Tiburon, meaning shark. And then you have the gold in the hills. That's why they're taking over paradise. It's their land. They're reclaiming it once again. So here you can see the western states. Here's Utah right here with the Great Salt Lake. And you can see how much it covered of Utah. And then there's Pyramid Lake here and Lake Tahoe. And what's interesting about Lake Tahoe, most rivers flow from the east to the west. Lake Tahoe, the Truckee River, flows from the west to the east to Lake Pyramid. So there's an oddity going on in this area, and you see the outflow when the waters allegedly spilled out, and they went through the Great Snake River and out the Columbia River out that way. But some of it went down through the basin here and exited to create this landmass that used to be water right along this area here. So was the Great Salt Lake an ocean at one time? Let me think. Salt water, ocean. Do you see any references to that being the great and being an ocean at any time? Yeah. It was the largest body of water between the Great Lakes and the Pacific Ocean and the largest salt lake in the Western Hemisphere. Yet they're saying it was a freshwater lake. The Great Salt Lake is a major remnant of Lake Bonneville. And many of you heard of the Bonneville Salt Flats. Is it flat? 40 square miles of intense flatness at 4,500 feet elevation, and it's totally flat. There is no curve because the earth is flat. So here you see 40 square miles, and it's 4,236 feet tall. And it's so flat, and the salt makes it ideal because they can hold land speed records. This is where the Bonneville Salt Flats holds a world record for world speed because it's flat and it's straight and it's totally level. So looking a little further into the Great Salt Lake, the largest national lake west of the Mississippi, 75 miles long currently and 35 miles wide. Great Salt Lake is salty because it has no outlet. Where the salt comes from? The ocean. And here comes the paleontology. You just erase all those names about eras and stuff and just listen to what they have to say. It's indicating that the fossils are the presence of marine environment. The warm, shallow seas covered much of the state. Fossils found in these rocks, including nearly all groups of marine invertebrates, as well as rare occurrences of fossil fish. The great fields of sand dunes blanketed Utah were then covered with a shallow sea that once again flooded. Wait, it's enclosed, so how is it flooding back and forth? And during the Cretaceous period, like 100 years ago, the seas retreated from Utah for the last time. The uplift of the Colorado Plateau and the formation of the basin and range topography, Lake Bonneville formed during the wetter interval, only to shrink away through evaporation. All the water went away because it was evaporated based on what? Drum roll, please. Climate change. Great Salt Lake is a small remnant of the ancient Lake Bonneville. And here we can see there's possibilities that there was coral in the Great Salt Lake. You ever heard of coral in fresh water? No. And this will give you an idea of how big Lake Bonneville was. Covered parts of Idaho and Nevada, and it all remains as a smaller blue, darker blue area. But look at how large the Bonneville Lake was up until 100 years ago. And then notice Salt Lake right on the fringe right here is underwater, according to this, until it was settled by the, quote, Mormons, who were really the Jesuits, in the 1838s. You also notice it's an enclosed waterway, as they say. Where did the water go, they said, all of this massive lake? Well, it evaporated. It evaporated due to climate change.
And today, we're going to explore a little bit of the history of Salt Lake City and Utah in general. Now, I believe that the Mormons arrived in 1847, the whole city completely built out only 30 years after the arrival of these Mormon pioneers, very similar to the miners of San Francisco between 1849 and 1870, completely elegant and exquisite architecture sprouting up overnight. And it's not just all of these buildings in Salt Lake City. You have Provo, they're building temples in St. George, all throughout the state, really. All in this beautiful style. And within this lot of 20,000 people, like I said, we have Catholic churches, Greek Orthodox churches, with domes and spires and columns, not to mention a sophisticated infrastructure and rail lines, and I think you get my point. The city for the taking. And here I was just watching something that was shared with me featuring Jerry Seinfeld. And it had to do with the Coney Island infant incubators. And the interviewer asks him about his history, and he says his father was an incubator baby. And the interviewer laughs as if he doesn't believe him. And I'm going to play that for you.
In the early 1900s, my dad was an incubator baby.
And very strange. Of course, we've talked about this before. In short, between 1854 and 1929, the relocating of about 200,000 orphaned, abandoned, abused, or homeless children took place. It's a very sad story. Something in between acting as if they're doing a noble thing for these children and at the same time benefiting the needs of their labor, for farmers, and even for the railroads. Here they're showing us advertisements placed in papers encouraging the adoption of children. Here we can see a poster. The number of children brought from New York are still without homes. Please call and see them. And often they were treated like farm animals, like teeth were inspected. They were made to do push-ups and other tests of fitness. This program originally set to be started by this man, Charles Loring Brace. And we're told in the 1850s, there was up to 30,000 homeless children in New York City. And New York City's population at the time was 500,000. And this guy has this great idea to start shipping them across the country. In this early time period, some cities barely even getting started, barely laying the tracks to these supposed newly constructed cities. We're told these children were often known as street Arabs. Banks believed that street children would have of New York City and were instead raised by morally upright farm families. And in short, these children were ultimately slaves, not sold for the love and care of a new family, but rather for their ability to labor. And I think this whole story is a lot more twisted than this simple and seemingly well-intended narrative. The children were told, your parents are not your parents. Your life begins when you are chosen.
Do either of you have any sense of how far back your ancestors go in New York? Have you ever?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just in the 1920s tomorrow. I'm probably about the same, like, the early 1900s. My dad was an incubator baby on Coney Island. He was on display. They just come out of the incubator.
It can literally turn to anything, I believe.
No, it's true.
And personally, they seem to be one of the most recent civilizations that we can see in our short past history. And the Mormons originally began in Illinois, and they were persecuted in Illinois. Now, they were said to have built a temple called the Nauvoo Temple before eventually migrating west to Utah, and the Nauvoo Temple was originally dedicated in 1846, and yet when we look at a picture of this temple, it appears to be much older, and I find it really fascinating, the architecture that the Mormons supposedly built their structures in. And to present day, as we'll explore later in the video, we see a lot of what we're now calling Antiquitech, which I believe, and many of us believe, to be power-generating devices. The city created in 1847 by 148 people. In 1850, 6,000, and in 1870, the railroad comes in, and we have a whopping 12,000 people. 10 years later, about 20,000. And this is the approximate period I want to focus on today. 30 years. In the first 30 years, we are said to have 20,000 people. And what can a people accomplish in 30 years? We have to take into account the means, of course, available to people in this time period, horse wagon, and the introduction of the train. We're told almost immediately in 1853, construction begins on the temple. And we see a series of suspicious-looking photographs showing a massive wall already in place in the tabernacle temple. In the early stages of the supposed temple construction. And that would be amazing enough if we were to accept that. But at the same time, we're told they're building prisons that resemble castles, and cells, town halls, municipality buildings, industrial, universities, and places of worship for other religions, all within the first 30 years, and with a small population of less than 20,000 people. And so this brought me to the National Register of Historic Places, and I quickly became overwhelmed. The amount of historic buildings built in this early time period for people that were told just trekked across the wilderness with oxen and horse, and some even on foot, is completely astounding, and in my opinion, completely unrealistic. Many of these have very vague construction dates and stories, seemingly written in haste, and I'm always impressed with how late in the game they are to add these to the historic registry. Some as late as 2013.
Yeah, and that set the table for this article. It's AmericaIsTheOldWorld.com. It was an excellent article, and you're rare to find any of this information anywhere. There's a great compilation here, so I'm just going to read through it. The Amurra, Washita, Deduga, Ga Maundya, Deduga, Deduga, Mounda Moors were originally a group of priests from the Egypt of the West, Old Egypt, also known as Dogon or the Olmecs or the Mayans. The term Washita is a corruption of Ur-Shita, the father and mothers of the mystics. In the Egyptian Ur-Shita is a Ur-Shet, the winged sun disk, which symbolizes the highest knowledge, the pineal gland being open. Remember the sun goddess with the winged disk? The Sumerian god Amuru is actually the origin to the word like Amaru, Ameru, Ameri, which are root words to America. America is actually a corruption of Amun-Ra-Ka, Amun-Ra-Ka. It's strange how everything comes from Egypt or the West, which is really old. And in Japan and China, they have a name for subtle energy, and it's chi. In the Vedics in India, it's prana, and in Egypt, it's ka. It's strange how everything comes from Egypt and the West. Read my post lately on Facebook in the Americas, because the god Tutu, a pre-dynastic Egyptian deity and landing god, is from the Americas. Yes, Puta, Judah, is from the Americas because his territory was Puta, Utah, Judah, territory which covered Mexico and several states, including California, Utah, Nevada, Arizona, Oklahoma, Missouri, and Texas. Additionally, Puta was also the chief god of Luxor in Memphis, Tennessee, which was in the Americas. When Egypt was once the capital of the world, in fact, the pharaoh gave the ancient Moabites, Moors from Moab, Utah, Judah, the permission to settle Morocco, Indiana. Avoid the hijack, too, because when you Google Morocco, India, it will tell you that it was founded in 1851 based off of the Morocco that is in North Africa. The only problem is that the Morocco that is in North Africa wasn't founded until 1956. So I will go with the Morocco that is in the old world America as being ancient Morocco. The Moabites from the tribe of Puta, Utah, Judah, Judah, called America, Al-Morocco, Al-Mer-Ra-Ka, which is another root word for America. The last of the Al-Moroccan government fell in 1956 with the abolishment of the consular court when black people accepted civil rights over their natural rights as natural persons. This is the definition from the consular court. Quote, a tribunal convened by public officials who reside in a foreign country to protect the interests of their country for settlement of civil cases based upon situations that happened in the foreign nation and which is held pursuant to authority granted by treaty. The 1787 Morocco Treaty of Peace and Friendship was this treaty. Consular court exercises criminal jurisdiction in some instances with determinations and reviewing by the courts of the home government. The last of U.S. consular courts of Morocco was abolished in 1956. The 1787 Morocco Treaty of Peace and Friendship was a means to try to stop all of the fighting over land, so the Moors brought the Europeans to the table in the form of a peaceful two-system government, one for the Moors and one for the Europeans. Evidence of this two-system government can be found in the back of the $1 bill. Notice the two seals, which suggest the two governments. The seal of the Great Pyramid with the eye above it is the Moorish seal. The other seal with the bald eagles holding 13 arrows is the seal for the European. Another example of the two-system government is the consular court, which was the Moorish court system. The last one was abolished in 1956, and the consular court was granted authority by treaty. Empress Vera Dici Tiati, Washita, Turner Gostin L. Bay wrote in her book, The Return of the Ancient Ones, that 85% of the blacks over here in America were already here before the slave trade. Only 15% of the blacks came from Africa. This means there's a suppressed history of the blacks being a world people. Pangaea proves that all the continents were once connected, so migration to and from Africa and to other places was easy. Also see the Ra expeditions. It proves that the ancient Egyptian sun boats were capable of world travel. Additionally, temples have been built and named after Egyptian gods and hieroglyphics have been found in the Grand Canyon. In Oklahoma in the 1800s, a still of the pharaoh Akhenaten was found as well. In the book America B.C., there's an alabaster egg of a cartouche of King Tut found in Idaho. The book
Africans and the Native Americans. The slave trade started in America, and the slaves were taken mostly to Spain and Europe. Reverse engineering, folks. The slaves didn't come here. They took them from here and took them over to Europe. When the Spanish came to America, they found the Indians, the black people, who were with God. All the evidence proves that the blacks are the oldest native peoples in the America, hands down. Why is this information suppressed? Well, Europeans want to tell you to believe that blacks only came to Africa to keep the land they have taken and not feel guilty about it. So they wrote his story. The American History book has been a great success. Remember back in the days with the children that they separated back in the 1900s, where they took the foundling trains, and they took the children away after they took off the parents, and they put them in all the insane asylums and separated them, and then they taught them the history out of that. That's when the Rockefellers set up the U.S. education system to teach the children the history they wanted them to know. This is the history we know today, his story. We need to learn her story. The Amara Washita Digtamandaya Moors lay claim to the following land by and through bloodline. The Bibarin State, also known as the Imperial International State of the Bourbon Habsburg Empire, which includes Western Europe, the Netherlands, Belgium, Luxembourg, Switzerland, Germany, Italy, Sicily, Naples, Sardinia, Spain, and Portugal, as well as most of North America, in the Caribbean addition to Central and South America, and all of the North America west of the Imperial Demarcation Line and the British Royal Proclamation Line. This was the one world Tartarians that were erased from history. This is the breakdown of the Royal Empire bloodlines of the Washita Moors. The young heir to the French throne, King Louis XVII, married the youngest heiress of the Washita Tanika throne, Leah Maria. Their imperial marriage would become official in 1795, pursuant to the conveyance of the Spanish land grants bestowed upon the young heir, King Louis XVII, and his wife, Eris. These two would achieve the imperial Spanish land grant of 1763. As recipient of the land grants, King Louis XVII became known as the Marquis de Maison Rouge, owner of Louisiana and Florida. Upon the death of Amaria and King Louis XVII, the title Louisiana, Dauphin, and Regent Marquis de Maison Rouge were conveyed to the next line in the imperial French crown, to Bourbon, and the son of Louis Francis Bourbon, Princess de Conti. The daughter of Marie and King Louis XVII married Louis de Francis Bourbon. The second Marquis became the recipient of both the imperial Spanish land grants of 1762 and the Spanish land grant of Monroe, Louisiana. The big name, Henry Joseph Turner, became the recipient of the 1762 and 1795 imperial Spanish land grants, making him the third Marquis de Maison Rouge. Henry Joseph Turner married Sarah Tunica, and from this union came their eldest son, Joseph Henry Turner, the fourth Marquis de Maison Rouge. The prophet Noble Joliet was the fifth Marquis de Maison Rouge by and through his mother, Eliza, and the daughter of Sarah Tunica and Henry Joseph Turner. Royal imperial bloodlines have never been broken. Therefore, ownership of most of North America and other lands belongs to the very D.T. Tiara Washington and her husband, the 6th Marquis de Maison Rouge, John Gostin. They are the rightful owners of most American lands elsewhere. John Jay, the first chief executive of the U.S. Supreme Court, once said, quote, "Those who own the country ought to govern it," end quote. I've proven that the Washita Moors own most of North American lands elsewhere through the property rights of their queen and king, Berdichi Tiara Washington, and her husband, the 6th Marquis de Maison Rouge. Now, if you go back to my Washita One piece, you'll see that the United Nations acknowledged that this was their land, acknowledged that the Louisiana Purchase was fraud, and that they owned a much greater section that was literally taken away, and they were marched out, drummed out with the trial of tears, where they marched them out of Oklahoma, ceremoniously exiting their lands. Given the secret treaty of the San Ildefensio of 1800, David Boone, Charles IV, King of Spain, succeeded to the French Emperor Napoleon Bonaparte, the seaport city of New Orleans, only not the whole of Louisiana. So when Napoleon ceded the U.S. President Jefferson was the port of New Orleans, not the whole Louisiana claimed by U.S. in the so-called Louisiana Purchase of 1803. This fact has been secured by the secret treaty of the San Ildefonso of October 1st, 1800. And again, I refer you to this map as the Spanish Louisiana. This is all they bought right here, was the port of New Orleans. But they took over everything else once they got their foothold. So President Thomas Jefferson sent Robert Livingston to purchase the Louisiana Purchase from Napoleon Bonaparte. The Napoleon had the power to sell the harbor city of New Orleans to the United States. According to the secret treaty, Napoleon violated international law by selling the city without consent from Spain, making the deal null and void. The Washington received no money from the Louisiana Purchase, and the purchase exceeded its boundaries by covering over 15 states and parts of Canada, which were never part of the deal. The United States took command without having the Washington due process and equal protection of law, which should have come in the form of hearing and compensation for the land. This never transpired, therefore the land was unlawfully taken from the Washingtons. This is from Article 6 of the United States Constitution, quote, treaties of the Supreme Law of the Land. Well, how many treaties did the U.S. break by moving the Moors out and killing them off? According to due process, the government can't give the Washita their land back. The government's bound by law to give the Washita Moors just compensation for the land. This is documentation in the National Archives of Washington, D.C. and elsewhere that confirm that Washita Moor presence right here in North American lands thousands of years before the arrival of the first European. Thousands of years before the arrival of the first European. When I get into the mine building, we're going to see the same thing. Thousands of years before the Egyptian pyramids were built. The ancient ones, geophysical mine builders, and their prior claim of land was never disputed. Evil deeds stole away their possessions of their control of their ancient lands, partially identified in their records, and the 1848 U.S. Supreme Court ruling of the U.S. government versus the heirs of Henry Turner, in which the High Court found that the, quote, neutral strip of 2,961,903.5 acres of land was definitely not a part of the territory ceded to the United States, and that the return of 68,883 acres of land by the state of Louisiana designated Washita proper and, quote, Washita terra, terra meaning land, including the Floridas. I have two attached United States Supreme Court cases in which the Washita won these cases. The United States High Commission for Human Rights recognizes the self-declaration of indigenous people and acknowledges the Uexxatan Empire of Washita as the, quote, the oldest indigenous people on earth. The oldest indigenous people on earth. And assigned UN grant application number 215 in 1993 to the Washita Moors. There it is right there, folks. United Nations. The United States has recognized Amura Washita de Dugda Maungia as an indigenous people of North America and had under consideration in the 105th Congress the Guadalupe Hidalgo Treaty Land Claims Act of January 1997. A series of congressional bills, acts, and U.S. Supreme Court cases reaffirm national sovereignty for the heirs of Henry Turner Bourbon, and the claim has been recorded before the World Court at Hague that since the Treaty of the Utrecht in 1713, in which the Spanish de Bourbon had established themselves in the protectorate of lands known as the Floridas, on behalf of the Amura Washington de Dumanga. According to the UN Declaration of Rights of Indigenous People, quote, indigenous people are those who embody historical continuity with societies which existed prior to the conquest or settlement of their territories by Europeans, as well as people brought involuntarily into the New World. So according to the above United Nations treaty, all black people are indigenous. This means that blacks are natural persons. All natural persons are human beings of sovereign lands. This is coming from Black's Dictionary. Just look up natural persons. All blacks are beyond first-class citizens and don't even know it because we've accepted his story and the slave labels like Negro, Black, colored, and African American. What makes the above treaty so powerful, according to Article 6 of the United States Constitution, is, quote, treaties are the supreme law of land. Sovereign resides in your nationality.
that ties you back to the land. My nationality is Washita de Dugmangya Mur, which is an offbranch of the Kushite Empire, the Shanghai Empire, and the Ottoman Empire. The Washita tribal Moors are listed in the United States under Indigenous People in number 21,593. So is this why we're seeing that the new bill coming up to give 32 million acres to black farmers? Is this part of the settlement from the UN and the declaration that they're giving the land back to them by declaration, by orders, because it was taken away from them illegally? Makes sense. So according to international law, the Washita has established itself as a sovereign independent nation, UN member, apart from corporate union of 1781 and the corporate United States of 1787. The land claim from the Washita has been affirmed by Spanish and France as well as Britain, pursuant to the Spanish land grants of 1762 and 1795. All Washita Murs enjoy dual citizenship. They are citizens of the United States of America, not the United States, and citizens of the Washita Nation. There's a differentiation between United States of America, Inc., capital letters, and United States, small capital. According to federal law, the land of Washington is defined as Indian country, but the people of the land have been placed under the authority of the U.S. government via the Bureau of Indian Affairs. The United States has assumed the trust responsibility of the Washita Nation of Moors via the Spanish land grant. And we'll get into why the Indian names and how they conflate and confuse us with the obfuscation of the history of this. The Iroquois League of Nations has a lot in common with the Camp Holmes Treaty. Remember, it was Benjamin Franklin who went and hung out with the Iroquois to get how they governed themselves so he could write the U.S. Constitution? The Treaty of the Camp Holmes can be read here. These are the five civilized, Christianized tribes, the Cherokee, the Chickasaw, the Choctaw, Creek, and the Seminoles. Anyone claiming to be one of these tribes is really a Washita Moor. And I got the treaty in 1835 to prove it. Prophet Noble Drew Ali was also a Cherokee Indian chief from North Carolina. This makes sense because he was a prince of the Washita Moors, and he was also the fifth Marquis de Maison Rouge. Additionally, the Cherokee Indians was one of the biggest tribes and was the off-branch of the Moor Washita de Dugmangya Murs. The Americans was ancient Sumerians, because Amurra was the Sumerian Akkadian god of the Amorites, a.k.a. the mound builders. The Amurra, Washita, Moors, Moon, Moor, Meru. The Amurra, Washita are the oldest indigenous people in the world, according to the United Nations. They're the oldest indigenous people in the United Nations, according to the United Nations. In the United States, the ancient people, they have a very strong connection because the Sumerian god Amaru correlates to the oldest indigenous people in the world. Also, the original name of America was Amaru, according to the Webster 1936 dictionary, which, quote, American is defined as an aboriginal of one of the various copper-colored natives found in the American continents by the Europeans. The original application of the name was Amaru. To drive this point home, all the names of Native American tribes trace back to the title serpent dragon, Naga Niga, which makes sense because the worship of the serpent dragon, the Kundalini ascension chakra alignment, was the chief symbol in the Americas. And here's what they're referring to as the seven chakras and the caduceus, and here's the solar disc, the winged disc as well. And this is the snakes, the two snakes intertwining, the Piga Ida and Piga, Mingla, that are intertwining through the seven chakras. So this is where the snake lives down here. And when you activate your chakras, the Kundalini, it will fire up in a snake to the higher consciousness. And this is also dragon nigga. This is where the term nigger comes from as well. The flag of Mexico is the eagle killing the serpent or the dragon or Draco. Mexico, Olmec, Old Mexican, was part of the Washita Muir Empire. And Mexico used to cover the South, Central, and North America. Mexico used to extend all the way up to into Canada. As you can see, Spain took a lot from the land from the Moors. This map does not show how big La Florida once was, but I found an older map of Florida. Yes, Florida was once so big that it covered several states according to the attached 1657 phantom map of La Florida.
Also notice how the Moors were known as the Camaricans, because it was the first word on the 1657 map banner. Camari was an ancient name for Egypt. This evidence suggests the Americas as old as Egypt, or the Egypt of the West. Nova Scotia, New Scotland was in Canada, La Canada, a.k.a. Canaan land. Nova Scotia was also called Acadia. Acadia is the city of in the ancient Sumer. Nova Scotia, a.k.a. Acadia, was also Americon, because the Acadia National Park, which covers Maine and the New England states, is in America. Maine and New England territory has a rich Viking history, and that area was called Nova France or New France. Nova Scotia was also called France, so we have a strong connection, and I even found a map of 1580 of Map America from the Stanford College University that verifies that a portion of Canada and the New England states were once called France. And here's the map he's referring to. If we zoom in, you see right here, Nova France, Canada. See here, Nova Scotia, this area right here. Look how big it is. France. So this map shows Francisco, another map, Library of Congress, France, and the mythical golden city of Norimberga that was allegedly built by the Vikings. This map also shows Moscow, Russia, Ross, Russian, Asian, Flandros, or Andros, Andrew. Well, so much for Norimberga being a myth, because it had to be real for it to be on an authentic map from the Library of Congress. Yes, the original French were the Franks, the Clan Ross, and they were French Moors, Black Moor, Blacker Moors, a.k.a. Berber Moravingians. This also explains why you have the French quarters in Louisiana, and they also refer to themselves as the Acadians. I have attached a YouTube video from Europeaners Also Tell the Truth and Try to Break Down Steely Dan by deciphering the devil's details. Even the Sumerians who worshipped Amaru were the Amorites. You can get the word America very easily from Amor or Amer, because with ancient Semitic Kemetic languages like Hebrew and Aramaic, the vowels are interchangeable. Let's play with both the Amaru and Amor to see how many Americans we can come up with. Keep in mind that you have the guy Amaru in the world America. For example, America. You can see all the different names he's going in there. So the Zionic people, aka the Olmecs, are the first inhabitants of the Americas. The Olmec heads have been carbon dated back to over 5,000 years old. But this is not accurate, because the Olmec long count calendar, which is the Mayan calendar, is a lot older than 5,000 years. And here's a picture of the Olmecs, and this is a stone weighing several tons, carved out of rock, and you notice the African lips, the nose, the whole presence. These are the Black Moors. They carved this out of stone. These were the first Americans. So you got a zoom behind the 5,000 years, and William Devon found over 2,800 Egyptian-style artifacts in the Valley of Megiddo, which is dated over 50,000 years old. I don't believe in carbon dating, so I don't trust any of the validity of any of these old dates. But the Olmec heads were found in the same region that William Niven found his artifacts. So we have a strong connection. The Olmec heads are over 50,000 years old. They try to keep it back at 6,000 years, and they try and keep the pyramids and other megalithic structures as much older than what academia lays claim to. Olmec is the origin of the word Mexico, Olmec or Mexican. When the Olmecs and theirs were survivors of the Atlantis disaster, breed in with the Berber Moors from Morocco, India, the union of the two created the Washoe people, Washita Moors, a.k.a. the Raccoon people. The union of the Olmecs and the Moroccan Moors also created the Al-Moroccan Empire. Also in this thread, the North Carolina Negro movement states that Negroes are descendants of the ancient Berbers. The Berbers were the Moroccan Jews, Olmecan, Incans, Al-Moroccan. Also, Al-Moroccan is derived from Raccoon, which is one of the nicknames for the Washita Moors, and the Coon is still used to this very day as an insult to the Moors, because they didn't know who they were. Also, Coon is also referring to the Kundalini energy, or sex energy, that flows up and down the human spinal column. Coon was actually a noble title, just like serpent used to be, because the energy that you must raise up to the 33 spinal vertebrae with the science of the Holy Breath, a.k.a. the Holy Spirit, so you can walk with God, or to be one with God, or to be in harmony with life. Todd Washington and Wichita Udom were direct descendants of the Olmecs and were survivors of the Atlantis disaster. So the Olmecs were not from Africa. They had no Olmec heads found in Africa. The Olmecs did not come from Africa. The name Ouachita comes from the Ouachita River, which flows along the northwest Texas and Oklahoma to the Red River, where the Cheyenne Native Americans lived with the Chawasha, meaning raccoon people. The Washington were a tribe of Moors who lived above the New Orleans Bayou Bay and were of Tunican linguistic stock. The name Ouachita is a derivative from the term Ouachita, which is now Wichita, Kansas. The term is Choctaw, which in terms means big arbor, which represented the grass-thatched arbor homes that the people lived in. I wrote this to educate the public past the Ouachita Moors and to prove who owns America. So he offers a couple books here. I'm going to put the link in here. There's a bunch of different articles that go out on the land of the Promised Land of Israel, the Ouachita Moors. He gets into more. Were the Moors really the biggest race traders and sellouts of their race? Ancient Greece, ancient Rome, and America. Who were the Moors? The seed, a philosophical treaty on the seed. The original Arabs were black Moors and whatnot. So please click on these links to San Francisco Bay, Bay City Hall. San Francisco was the imperial center of the Tartarians. That's another fascinating article we'll get into. But I encourage you just to go through this all. It's a really fascinating, fascinating true story that we need to bring the truth out about the true indigenous people of the land of what was once completely America, not Canada, not North America, not Central America, not South America, but the Americas that were all across what we now call the United States Inc. or Corporation. So I hope you find this as interesting as I do, as I have, and part three and four will be covering the Grand Canyon and all the Egyptian temples that are there, and also the great mounds that permeate across the United States of America Corporation. Thanks for listening. I hope you found this as interesting as I did. Please share it all. We have to revise our history and get her story out. It's a beautiful, beautiful story of the indigenous people. One love.
Beautiful, right? So what is beautiful? I feel that beautiful is her story, you know, knowing it for yourself, you know what I'm saying? Knowing that for yourself. And again, remember, the truth is what you decide at the end of the day. There are so many control programs, you guys. And as, you know, I start to personally dig on my personal journey, I started to find that, you know, we blame everything on white supremacy, you know what I'm saying? We love to play the blame grant game in this black conscious community, which, again, is a constructed cult, you know, a systematic CIA, you know, what? However, you know what I'm saying? A lot of this shit is by design, you guys. Just know that, okay? Just know that a lot of this shit is by design. Shout out to the ancestors. You know, who stood before me, who stood before us, who didn't take no shit, who actually spoke the real truth, not some type of Masonic Freemasonry, you know, program or, you know, manipulation or, you know, influence, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to the real ancestors. You know what? Shout out to the ancestors, you know, who stood before us, who really spoke the real truth, who really, truly, genuinely was in tune with their heart chakra, and who, you know, really cared about the people outside of self and outside of self-gaming and self-fulfillment and me and mine and all, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to those ancestors who really gave a fuck about the people outside of themselves and me and mine. Shout out to y'all. I appreciate y'all. Shout out to one of my ancestors that I gained back in June right after my birthday, Barbara Neil Douglas. Shout out to you wherever you are in the cosmos. Such a beautiful soul. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. You taught me so much. You know what I'm saying? You taught me so much. And, you know, being that my mother was kind of an adolescent in her motherhood, you know, you made up for that. You and a lot of the whole Cherry family, shout out, you know, to my dad's side, you know what I'm saying, because they took me in, you know, knowing how my mother was, you know what I'm saying. So just shout out, you know, to the goddess energy, to the mother energy, to the womb. Shout out to the womb. The spirit knows, soul knows that I love and respect the womb, you know what I'm saying, but there are things that have to be done, have to be cleansed, have to be purified when it comes to the womb, because the womb is kind of tainted, you guys. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to kind of put that out there. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Shout out to 708 for always listening, always joining. Shout out to you, Joanne. Love you to life. Thank you for always being here. Shout out to Mary Fox, who, again, is coming back, you guys. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Much gratitude, Maya. Energy and yeah, guys, that is it. I do not have a song for y'all, but we got to get it together, you guys. At some point we got to get it together. So please join me tomorrow. I'm going to be talking about the Lucifer program. I believe that's what I have down for tomorrow. But how these broadcasts are going is pretty much how they always go, divine order and the order of the day, you know, priority in the order of the day is how these broadcasts. But I believe that I'm going to be doing the Lucifer program tomorrow. So join me tomorrow, same time, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, on Enhancing Awareness Radio. All right, guys, hope you enjoyed the broadcast, and till next time, peace.
without breaking your skin. No one has the power to hurt you like your kin. Kept it inside, didn't tell no one else. Didn't even wanna admit it to yourself. And now your chest burns and your back aches from 15 years of holding the pain. And now you only have yourself to blame if you continue to live this way.
Can't